Look now again today in the book of Nehemiah. I said last week that Nehemiah is back there in the Old Testament, of course, before Psalms. You go behind Psalms about 15, 20 pages, you'll see Esther and Ezra. You'll see Nehemiah tucked in between Esther and Ezra. And we're talking here again about being strengthened. I want to kind of keep on going on the vein I was in last week as well. The realms here about how God is putting things inside of us, some principles here in the first part of this year, so that those things that he wants to strengthen can be made stronger, those things which remain can be made stronger in us. I mentioned last week in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, there's a church named Sardis, and it said the church is called Sardis. Jesus Christ talked to John, the beloved on the island of Patmos there, and he said, I only have a few things against you guys. And one thing is that you're claiming to be alive, but there's parts of your life that are actually dying. And he says in verse 2, strengthen those things that do remain. Things that remain are things, again, like our marriages, our relationships. It's things like the destiny God's placed inside of our heart. It's the giftings God's placed in us. It's the word of God that's in us also is one thing that remains. There's faith, there's hope, there's love. So God says all those things that remain upon this earth that are actually important, do what you can to strengthen those things that may be dying in some way. I trust that last week, a lot of you guys were touched, we were ministered to, and throughout this entire week, some good things took place for you on the tail end of that message also as well. We also mentioned last week that Matthew chapter 7 talks about how we are always building in our lives. We're going to be building either on rock or building on sand. Now, many folks realize that God wants us to build on sand, I mean upon rock, not upon the sand. Amen? Because the Bible says also the storms come to both houses. The house built on the rock, the house built on the sand, storms come to them. How many folks can say here that in 2015 you did face a few storms last year? Well, praise God, you're still here. You're still loving God. You're still serving God. You still love God's people. And so your house did not fall because your house is built upon the rock. As long as you put roots down, your house built upon the rock, no matter what storms come, your house will stand. And the Bible is very clear. It says that the house talks about our personal house. All of us have a personal life we're building up and developing with God. But also we have what's called the house of God, churches like this, and the church around the world. And God is saying you cannot separate the two. No separation between the local church and your personal life as well. They're both intermingled, intertwined together. So whatever God's doing in the church all over this earth, God is also touching your life as a person who's in the church, a living stone. And God is building in your life, but also God's building in the church universal in this hour and in this season as well. So in Nehemiah, we see that after he went to the king and he told the king, I want permission to rebuild the ruined and torn down walls around Jerusalem. The gates are burned with fire and the wall has been crumbled down. And so again, I understand that one thing that God has called this local church to be is an intercessory prayer church. We are those that are called by God to stand in the gap for people around us. We have sometimes folks in our lives around us, in our own lives as well, that gaps have appeared somehow in the armor God places in their lives. And that wall that God puts around us was around Job himself in the Old Testament. And so Satan, when he comes before God, Satan says, you put a hedge around Job and I cannot touch anything that he has. I want that kind of hedge around my life, in my children's lives, and my grandchildren's lives, and your lives as well, amen? A hedge that no weapon formed against it can prosper, and a hedge that takes and quenches every fiery dart of Satan. But also I want to see a wine press, and I want to see a place built that brings forth fruitfulness by the power of God's Spirit. Because the Bible says whenever that wall goes up, then a wine press is built, and the wine press produces wine that talks about fruitfulness and about fulfilling your destiny that God has also for your life. So Nehemiah goes before the king, and the Bible says that for the first time the king notices his countenance has changed. And he says, Nehemiah, I see your countenance is different now. What do you want me to do for you? When you go into the presence of God in a supernatural realm, your countenance will always be changed. And through that, God will use that to cause key people, even sometimes authorities around you, to see the countenance change you have. And he'll say, it's time to actually help you out in whatever it is that God's called you to do. And so Nehemiah says, my people, the Jews, the Israelis, their walls have been torn down. Their gates are burned with fire. How can I be at peace here in Iran, Iraq, Babylon, many, many miles away, and I know my people that are thousands of miles away are living in a place where all this protection's been gone, and they're in poverty and distress and fear and despair. I mentioned also last week that whenever he got permission from the king to go back and build the wall, it says Nehemiah was riding on a horse, and it says he went through three different prophetic things talked about last week. He first of all goes through a thing that's called the Valley Gate. And we said the Valley Gate talks about the valley of the shadow of death. There's actually three scents of death, three smells of death talked about that many of us have been facing in our lives upon this earth. And the valley of the shadow of death, that Valley Gate, talks about anything that obscures the light or the truth of God creates a shadow. And so God wants everything that obscures what God has promised to you to be removed in this season in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't want you believing any lies of the devil about your health, about your marriage, or about your job, about your future. God is a God of light and truth, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. And God is wanting you to understand that the obscurity, that shadowing thing, must come down in Jesus' name. He then goes on and rides and finds a place called the Serpent Well. And the Serpent Well talks about how, again, a snake like a cobra, a spitting cobra, or even a rattlesnake here in Texas. We come across a snake like this, suddenly there comes a fear of death on us very, very quickly. So it talks about a fear, the smell of the fear of death that comes on us. We're seeing objects around us every day portrayed by the media about wars and rumors of wars, about F5 and F4 twisters in Garland, Texas. And we're seeing things about our economy, about the stock market tanking, and about the oil prices going down too low, perhaps, even though it really could happen low enough for me. And we're seeing things around us about politicians, about our governments, about nations overseas, about the North Koreans getting nuclear bombs and all these things around us. And it's like the rattlesnakes, the serpent whale. We wonder what's going to get unleashed upon the earth to bring death around us. And God is telling us again, the devil, the serpent, is under your feet. He said, I'm going to give you the power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions. Nothing deadly shall by any wise harm you or conquer over you. Amen. So God wants that serpent spirit to be broken off your life as well, the fear of that. The last gate when it went across, third one was called the Dung Gate or the Refuse Gate. Now, I brought the banana in last week to show you that the Refuse Gate, it talks here about the scent of losing your covering. It's actually the result of death. When God told Adam and Eve, the day you eat the fruit in the Garden of Eden, you shall surely die, we realize they ate the fruit, but their bodies did not die. What took place was they had a spiritual death happen, and all of a sudden their bodies began to age. All of a sudden their hair began to fall out. All of a sudden gravity began to affect their bodies. All of a sudden they're giving birth in pain. Thorns spring up. All the things around them go into a reversed death nature, and things start going backwards, not forwards, around the Garden of Eden, beyond the walls of that place. And we see when the covering is removed, always death, the results of death, begins taking place. Like a banana being peeled, that banana starts going through deterioration as soon as the peel is gone. And God is telling us again this year, let's do all we can do to make sure that covering remains intact. We don't give any place to the devil. We don't give him any stronghold or foothold in our lives, knowing the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. Let's do things that produce life and resist things that bring death. Amen? Does that make sense? And so we can do that only by the Spirit of Almighty God. I really appreciate the word that came out this morning here from Linda as well. I'm going to talk more about that in a moment, about the old passing away, because it goes right along with one of the gates I'm going to talk about this morning. Today is about being all in. For something to be strengthened, it means something has been added to it to make it stronger. To get your body stronger, what do? You've got to add muscle to it. You got to go lift weights. You got to walk. You got to strain and stress somehow. To get stronger in your body, you've got to add muscle and reduce fat in your body. Amen? To get your coffee stronger, how do you get coffee stronger? You just add more coffee to it. To get your floor stronger, what do? You put reinforced wood under your floor to make your floor stronger. To get your savings account stronger, what do? You add money to your savings account to make your savings account stronger. To make your friendship stronger, what do? You add more time, more investment, more friendliness, more effort to your friendships to make your friendships to become stronger. The The very simple fact is, to make things stronger, you must add something of life into that thing that exists in your life as well. Okay, so I'm praying today that God helps us discern some things in our own lives. What can I do to release life into things that remain to make them stronger this year? In my friendships, in my marriage, in my finances, in my health, what can I add to that to make it stronger with God's help in my life? Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all of these things will be added to you. So God is saying, by putting me first in your life, I'm going to always make sure the right things are being added into your life that actually count, and those things that remain will get stronger in your life with God's help. We also spoke last week about how we have a personal life. We also have a life in the body of Christ, and you cannot separate the two. There's a philosophy that goes around that says, what we do on Sunday and become like on a Sunday morning like this changes somehow on Monday morning. One man actually said one time, he told the pastor, he said, well, I'm all spiritual and I'm all for God, I'm all dressed up and I do things all holy and righteous on Sundays, but when Monday comes, I got to go live in the real world. You got to realize that this is the real world. I mean, how more real does it get than the spiritual world? Amen? You know, some folks that live on cruise ships, they almost live in a false world, I guess. We saw some ladies like that a few years back on a cruise we was on, one of the cruises we took years ago. And they actually take and they live on the cruise ship every single day of their lives. That's almost, to me, like living in a fairy tale world. But in the real world is this world. Real Christianity means it actually permeates every day, Monday through Saturday and Sunday in your life. Amen? You can't separate God from your real life on Monday through Saturday. It must be intertwined together to make sense. You agree with that? And so this year again, realize this is the real world. This is as real as it gets. And all the things that are temporal around us are actually more false than the things that are invisible that will be here forever and ever and ever in the life to come. So let's look now at Nehemiah chapter 2. We're going to be here in verse 10 again. We said last week, we saw that God gives us the permission to have a better life. He's come to give us life, the Bible says, and give us that life more abundantly. So God wants your life to not be a miserable life, not be a bondage life, for a life that's full of all kinds of sorrows. God comes to bring us a better life through Jesus Christ. But to do that, God must sometimes take some things away that he might put something better in its place. Nehemiah 2:10 says, when Sanballat the Horonites and Tobiah the Ammonite, these officials heard what Nehemiah was asking for about the wall getting rebuilt, they were deeply disturbed. One translation says they became very angry, very ticked off, that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. I want to tell you right now a truth. That truth is God is always looking for ways to bless your life. He wants to only do good things for you, for your children. He's got a good future for you as well. God is actually looking for ways to bless us. That's why back in the book of Ruth, the principle there that took place was Ruth was broke and poor, and the leader that was there named Boaz, he says, make sure you take out handfuls of blessings, handfuls of grain on purpose, that Ruth may find the grain and be blessed. That's just how God also works for us. Amen? We serve a good God. When you make a decision to strengthen something or have a better life, don't be surprised to find there'll be a vocal aggression, a minority also, reacting in a negative way to the thing that God wants you to do in your life. Even in local churches like this, when folks sometimes go through promotions and start actually bearing fruit for God, there comes sometimes a negative vocal minority like Sanballat, like Tobiah, that tries to bring discouragement and tries to mock and tries to actually bring down what God's doing in your life. It could be a new business. It could be a new child. It could be a new house, new whatever. The devil comes there at beginnings, at baby stages, and attacks weaklings, weak things in the first times or first days of life, that he might somehow try to bring discouragement and bring despair and annihilate what God wants to do. That's why, again, I always tell folks in our church, if you ever go through a new thing in your life, be aware the devil does not like that. The devil's territorial. He'll try to bring in some kind of a fly in the ointment to try and discourage you somehow in the very beginning stage. Because Satan is a chicken. He's a coward. He wants to fight a baby. He does not want to fight a man. Amen? That's why Satan attacks Moses as a baby, attacks David as a little bitty boy with Goliath, and attacks Jesus Christ as a baby. He wants to fight a baby. He's too much of a coward to fight a grown man, okay? So understand that in the spiritual realm, that's what takes place. Let's read on now to Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. Talking this morning about the gates being strengthened. We're going to mention some gates that God wants to open. We're going to mention some gates that God wants to shut. And I'm going to believe God again at the end of the service here to actually release some things among the congregation here to bring forth some closing of some gates perhaps, and some opening of also some good gates that God wants to open up by His grace. Verse 18 and 19 says, I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. And so they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to the good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard of this, they laughed at us, they despised us, and they said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel even against the king? These enemies like this are what I call barking dog syndrome. And why do I say that? Because you see, barking dogs, they bark because you're going somewhere when you pass that house, they start barking, but they're not. They're trapped in the house, they're trapped in the yard, and you're going someplace, you're walking by the house, and they're jealous. And they're barking, and they say, I want to get out and join you, but they can't do that. It's called the barking dog syndrome. You're going to find a whole lot of barking dogs take place when God starts moving in your life and bringing forth increase in your life as well. Amen? Understand that. So don't be afraid of, don't be intimidated by barking dogs, because they're only jealous because they can't go any place, whereas you're going somewhere with God's help. Verse 20 goes on and says, what's the response now of Nehemiah? Nehemiah responds to barking dogs and says this, I answered them. I said to them that the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we as servants will arise and build, but you have no heritage and no right or memorial in Jerusalem. God is telling us again, no matter how bleak things look around us, we got to remind ourselves God's ordained that we prosper and be blessed, and we find ourselves increasing in due time in the land. Let's look now at Nehemiah chapter 3. I'm going to look here and turn to this. Nehemiah 3 verses 1 through 5. Move into the realm of the gates and spend the rest of the time this morning here upon these gates that were actually rebuilt by the people of Israel and by Nehemiah. Nehemiah 3, starting in verse 1, says this. This is some hard words, so I'm gonna pretend like I know how to pronounce these names. So just kind of bear with me, okay? Then Elisha, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it. They hung its doors. They built as far as the Tower of the Hundred, and they consecrated it. Then as far as the Tower of Hananiel. Next to Eliashib, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, Zachor, the son of Imphi built. Also the sons of Hasaniah built the fish gate. They laid its foundations, they hung its doors with its bolts and its bars. And next to them we find a man named Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of, looks like, Cause, made repairs. Next to them, we had a guy named Mushiliam, the son of Berodiah, the son of Meshabel. These are all names I want to name my own grandkids one day. These are great names, amen. Made all the repairs. Next to them, there was Zadok, the son of Bana, made repairs. And then finally, verse 5, next to them, the Tekoites made repairs, but their nobles their nobles did not put their shoulders to the work of the Lord. You're going to see throughout this entire chapter 3, it goes along the same vein. These men built these things and restored these gates. Notice here, those who build have their names written in the Bible. What God says to you and I, as long as you're building the kingdom of God in obedience to Him, there's a book in heaven recording everything you do for God in the place to come. Amen? And in fact, the Bible even says, when a cup of water is given to somebody who needs it in my name, your reward will be given to you in the kingdom of Almighty God. So God is showing us here all these buildings, these things these guys do, is being written down and recorded even by the Lord, even in the Bible, to encourage you and I today. Let's look now at these 10 gates that were rebuilt. What do they actually represent prophetically to you and I? And one thing I just saw for the first time yesterday was this. Five of these gates God wants to keep closed, and five of these gates God wants to open up and keep open every day of your life. You're going to see that in these readings here as well. I see throughout the entire Bible that God would almost always take a mountain of cursing and a mountain of blessing, a tree of knowledge of good and evil, a tree of life. He put these two choices side by side in equal amounts to somehow show His people, I'm the God of balance, I'm the God of choices, I'm the God of decisions, and I pray you make the right choices and decisions in your life. Okay? Let's go to the first gate here. These first gates we talked about last week somewhat, and we'll go through those a little more briefly as well. But the first gate, brand new gate, is called the Sheep Gate. The Sheep Gate was found back in verse 1 of Nehemiah chapter 3. The Sheep Gate represents our ministry to the Lord and our personal relationship also with the Lord. I found there's three things that God wants sheep to always do. The one thing is He wants sheep to always have a shepherd. Now, why is that? Because we, like sheep, together will go astray. We are very, very tempted to follow the masses and the culture around us, even though the culture may be totally dead wrong as far as God's concerned. There's a sheep mentality that folks want to gather together and make choices together and not just by themselves. Amen? And so we need to be like sheep, have a shepherd that's actually, we're hearing the shepherd's voice. We're hearing what God says. We don't follow the crowd. We follow what God says in Jesus' name. When I was back on a farm years and years back in Missouri, as a young boy, the man, the farmer guy named Leon Montgomery, had about 30, 40, 50 head of sheep at one season in his life in Missouri. I was very interested to see that one time he was taking about 10 or 15 sheep from one part of the pasture to a new part of the pasture, and he had a wooden gate made of boards on the back of his pickup truck with a sheep in the back of his truck. When he opened up and took off the first rung off that gate that was there, the first sheep that were more aggressive jumped over the rest of the boards onto the ground. He goes ahead and he stops those sheep from doing that, makes them all stop, takes all the rest of the boards off. But to my amazement, every one of those other 15 sheep left jumped over an imaginary fence and board as they left the pickup. They're jumping in the air over nothing. Because the first sheep did it, they're doing it. And we, like sheep, sometimes go astray. Amen? And so I'm saying we need a shepherd over us who gives us the Bible. He gives us His Spirit. He gives us delegated authorities. He gives us information, knowledge, and wisdom to not just follow the crowds, but hear what the shepherd is saying to us and follow Him. Amen? Also, I found that sheep also need each other. Because sheep, when they're by themselves in nature, those are the ones that get attacked by lions and tigers and bears and wolves. Oh my. Amen? Sheep need to stay together for protection. When you find folks get hurt and burnt and bitter by being hurt in churches, not like this in other churches out there somewhere else, they tend to go into little bitty home groups or all by themselves in a cave on TV church or internet church. And they tend to separate themselves from the body of Jesus Christ. When they do that, they become a prey for the enemy. We need each other in the body of Christ. Amen? The first thing I want to remind you guys, the first thing Jesus Christ's disciples did when Christ died on the cross, when Pentecost comes, is they planted a local church. And it was called, again, the church in Jerusalem. It grew to over 3,000 people very fast. And so God said, meet from house to house, but also meet in the temple area. Come together, worship God, praise God together, and receive the apostles' doctrine and live a life together in community in Jesus' name. So I'm praying right now today, if you ever, ever find yourself getting put out by Christians or by other church members or even by pastors or leaders, don't let that cause you to throw the baby out with the bathwater. The local church is God's idea. There's a lot of stink in here sometimes, but it's better than what's outside there from Noah's Ark. Amen? Noah's Ark smelled a whole lot on the inside for a long time, but it was a whole lot worse out there than in there. Amen? But I'm saying there's a whole lot less stink here than there is good smells, good fragrance, and good God. Amen? God is good here among us. We need each other. Third thing about sheep is sheep need to release their giftings upon the earth. What's the main gift a sheep has besides their meat? Their wool. Do you realize that if a sheep is not sheared every so often, their wool becomes so heavy, they tend to fall into a ditch or an indention in the ground, and with their feet in the air, they're stuck on their backs like a turtle, and they can't get up. That's called a cast sheep. That sheep will actually have its gastric juices begin to eat at itself, and that sheep will die pretty fast. It was actually upside down like that with too heavy of wool, and it can't get up. Sheep need to be sheared. Amen? That means sheep need to give their giftings out, receive, give, and receive, give on a constant basis. Amen? So God is saying those three things about sheep. The sheep gate is that God is the good shepherd. We need each other. We need to release our giftings, and the sheep gate talks about that. Number two. Second gate here is called the fish gate. Verse number 3 talks about this gate. The fish gate speaks to each one of us on two different levels. One level is this. God has called us to become fishers of men. All of us are called to be soul winners for Jesus Christ upon the earth. Amen? And I pray in 2016, you'll start scheming ways to lead someone to Jesus this year. But God's also called the church, the corporate church, churches like this, to be soul-winning churches. And the fish gate reminds us Jesus Christ came to seek and save the lost. Amen? To make us fishers of men. I'm praying to God, there's an initiative going on right now, an initiative around Austin, where there's 300 churches now have come together to see this be a year of reaching our neighbors for Jesus Christ. May we do our part to jump in this thing as well, and be those who are soul winners for Christ. It always begins with you praying for your coworkers, for your neighbors, your lost friends who need Christ as Savior. Amen? How many folks can say that because someone prayed for you, it actually caused things to take place in your life to help you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? How many folks can say that? Over half the church, I think. You see, prayer causes God to start setting ambushes for the lost to get saved. Amen? So I encourage you guys, begin with prayer, begin praying, and see what God starts doing in lives of people who need Christ as Savior. You'll be amazed. The next gate, number 3, is called the old gate. This is what was talked about by Linda this morning. So I really believe God is talking about this gate today to us in specific. We're going to deal with this gate more so at the end of the service as well. The old gate, verse number 6, talks about this. It says, moreover, Jehoiada, the son of Pasiah, and Mushalam, the son of Besadiah, repaired the old gate. They laid its beams, they hung its doors with its bolts and its bars. This gate also speaks about two different levels. The first level it speaks about is our old lives, our old man is passed away. And now behold, all things are becoming new. What God is saying, I believe, in this service today at Tree of Life Church on January the 10th is evidently there's some of us among us today, perhaps, some of those old thinking and old habits are coming back to us in 2016. And God is saying, do you find yourself going back into depressive thoughts, negative thoughts, suicidal thoughts, thoughts of decrease, thoughts of revenge? Do you find yourself craving some old habits? some old vices, some old boyfriends, old girlfriends, old whatever. God is saying, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Do you catch that? God is saying that today for some reason in this church. And so I'm going to believe God again. We're going to pray about that also at the close of the service. It also, the old gate reminds us, helps us to remind us where we came from. We've got to always be giving thanks for all the sin God brought us out of when we received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I praise God, I'm not the same today as I was at 18 years of age. I was a real knothead, knucklehead, amen, at 18 years of age. I was a lukewarm believer. I was in church, out of church, doing my own thing. And by the grace of God, God closed down so many doors to me for sin that I wanted opened up, because I had a praying dad who was praying that things would shut in my face that I wanted to open up to me. And by God's grace, I have never smoked a marijuana cigarette in my life. I have never known what it means to get totally stone drunk. And I actually was married a virgin somehow, some way in America with God's help and grace. I'm not saying I wanted those things to happen for me. I'm just saying God just shut down doors in my face time and time again. God would even take and invade my dreams at 18 years old that I wanted to have sometimes bad dreams. All of a sudden, my sister would show up in the dream and shut things down. You can't do bad things in front of your sister. Is that right? I'm saying God did that in my life. I'm not sure about your life, but in my life, God did that. So I'm trying to tell you guys today, the old gate is you are thankful for all the things God has delivered you from in the past. And behold, all things become new. Amen. It's funny to me now, but I was mad back then. Okay. Number four is called the valley gate. Now, these are the gates that God wants opened up. These are what he wants shut down. There's three gates in a row that God wants shut down. Then there's three gates in a row that God wants opened up. So God wants the old gate shut. I'm going to back up. And God wants the sheep gate opened. And God wants the fish gate opened. So the first two gates, the fish gate, the sheep gate, God wants those gates opened up every day for us. But God wants the old gate shut down. The fourth one is called the valley gate. Verse number 13 represents again testings and trials, the valleys of the shadow of death. How many folks realize God wants that gate shut down? God doesn't want your life to consist of trials and tests and valleys and shadows. He wants those things erased from your lives, that blessings may come to you, that goodness and mercy may follow you. And on the other side of the valley is a place that's called the green pastures you can lie down in and enjoy the abundance and grace of Almighty God. The valleys are things that tried to obscure the light of God in us, and he wants that gate shut. The fifth gate, he also wants this gate shut, is called the dung gate, the refuse gate. Verse 13 again, the results of death is, lack of covering is a stench, dung, and refuse. I said last week, the only thing that keeps milk fresh is the covering over it. Candy bars are fresh by the coverings over it. Bananas are fresh by the coverings over that. God wants that refuse gate kept shut. He wants the covering intact. He wants you to be covered by the blood, covered by him, his protection, his grace, his shield of faith every day of your life. Amen? Let's keep that gate shut, the refuse gate, and don't let the refuse be around us. The Bible says that Satan, one of his names, is Beelzebub. Beelzebub means the Lord of the flies or the Lord of the dung heap. Anytime there's death, Satan smells it and Satan is attracted to it. Okay? So whenever you let death come into your life, old habits come back in, old ways of talking and thinking come back in, it actually attracts the flies of hell around you because they're drawn to death. Okay? So I'm saying speak life, think life, embrace life, and do things that brings life into your life and resist the Beelzebub flies from landing on your head or your life somehow, some way. These next three gates are now gates that God wants opened. The church exists in the dung gate to help remove the refuse, the dung from people that come in places like this. Now, again, I'm believing God in 2016, God's going to bring us all kinds of people. They may look different, act different, smell different, whatever different. But God says they're all people Jesus Christ died for. May we not judge them, turn them away, or condemn them, or do things that she say, I don't really want you around me. May we embrace those that are coming from the dung gate, the refuge gate of life, and say, I accept you unconditionally in Jesus' name. I may not love your sin, but I love you. God loves you, and God wants to see you get cleaned up, straightened up, healed, delivered, and set free in Jesus' name. Why is there no flies in this room today? There's no flies because there's windows and doors keeping them out. I'm saying keep the flies out. Amen. So now, number six, open gates. The first one's called the fountain gate. Verse number 15 talks about this. This gate speaks of continual presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I encourage you guys, do whatever you can do to make sure the Holy Spirit is welcome in your life every day you live. Benny Hinn's book came out years ago that was called what? Good Morning, Holy Spirit. I encourage you guys, take what he says in that book to heart. And every morning when you wake up, say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place in Jesus' name. Fill my bedroom, fill my house, fill my car, fill my workplace, fill my mouth, fill my mind, fill my heart. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. I want that fountain to be bubbling up every day in my life. Amen? And God is so good. The Holy Spirit, when he comes, he brings counsel. He brings wisdom. He brings divine coincidences. He brings blessings that you can't even think about. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives every day. Amen? Number seven is called the Water Gate. This is not Nixon's gate. This is actually a Bible gate called the Water Gate. This is an open gate. God wants a water gate open. Okay, verse number 26. This speaks of your relationship with the Word of God. I found the more time I spend in the Water Gate, the less time I spend in the Dung Gate. That's what I found. Amen? This word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. I found this word, I began to eat it, and I found it to be sweet to my soul. I found that this word here is sharper than any two-edged sword. I found this word brings life and not death. This word brings faith, and faith that comes by hearing pleases God. And I found this word builds me up, does not tear me down. And I found this word also gives me sometimes direction and instructions in crisis times in my life. Amen. I told you guys here several times in the past, as our daughter Sarah was going through her surgery there, and they could not stop bleeding inside of her body about 7 years ago. They said she might die now for bleeding so much in her body. The Spirit of God put me that day. I give you guys a letter this week that you guys might have read that or not. But in that letter was a whole page instruction about reading the Bible every day. I've done that now for about 30 years of my life at least. But in that reading day, that day when Sarah was going through surgery, I read in Exodus where it says, he caused the waters of the deep to congeal. And God said, take that word, confess that word, speak that word. I'm going to do that word over Sarah this day. They went through the surgery, and the heart doctor said, this time the congealing factors worked in her body. Her blood congealed. Her blood began to clot. The liver is very, very weak, and her life has been saved. See, sometimes God gives you a word from the Bible, just reading the Bible every day, that'll totally transform your life, bless your life, just give you a revival in your heart, because God's word does that, because it's alive and it's active, amen, every day. And it does not return void, but will accomplish everything that God wants to accomplish. Let's go on now, number nine. These are two more gates that God wants to shut. Two more shutting gates. The first one's called the East Gate, verse 29. The interesting thing about this East Gate was it actually was nailed shut by the Israelites. Now, why is that? The East Gate represents the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. No man knows the hour when Jesus Christ comes back. Not even the Son of God knows the hour he comes back. Only God knows the hour that Jesus comes back. I want to say again this year, if anybody gives you a date of when Christ returns, turn the TV off, turn your iPad or whatever off, that person's a false prophet. No man knows when Jesus Christ comes back. Not even Christ himself knows when he comes back. There's signs, there's indications around us, but only God knows when Christ comes back. So what God is saying to us is, be rejoicing, I'm going to send my son back to you. Understand that gate, that east gate does exist, it is there, and Christ will return. But don't worship that gate. Don't get so involved with that gate, it's all consuming to you. Keep that gate shut and do the Father's business until Jesus Christ returns or until you die. Amen? So that gate is nailed shut. No man knows the hour when Christ comes back. Then last of all, number 10. And again, I want to back up and say that we need the east gate because those who put their hope in the return of the Lord, the Bible says, will be purified. Daniel chapter 12, verse 10 says there, those with their hope in the last days of God, of Christ's return, it's saying there in a prophetic type sense, they shall be purified, they shall be made holy and righteous and blameless in God's sight, those who look for the return of the Son of God. So it's good to do that. Number 10, last of all, is called this hard word, the Mifkad gate, which simply means the gate of judgment. God also wants that gate shut for all of your life as far as he's concerned, the gate of judgment. Now that's because this gate is going to be only opened when we see God face to face. And the Bible says, I saw books that were there and I saw them opened. And I saw the righteous of God judged by the things that were written in those books. And what it's saying to you and I is, we don't have the right to judge each other or to judge ourselves. Let God be the judge. Amen? I believe what God is saying to each one of us is, you got to start cutting slack for each other more and more in this hour, this season. You see, God does not require as much from a baby Christian as he does from a long, long time in the Lord, mature believer. Amen? When Joyce Meyer first began doing Bible studies in her house in Fenton, Missouri, I was there in that church in 1980 doing rock seminars. I met Joyce Meyer briefly face to face. And somebody in that church said, this woman does her Bible studies in her shorts and her t-shirt smoking cigarettes. That's how Joyce Meyer began. But God did not say, you're a dirty, rotten sinner. I'm going to take you out and remove your ministry from you. Praise God that Joyce Meyer is who Joyce Meyer is today, because God took her where she was at and began refining, began purifying, began changing, began speaking to her, to where today Joyce Meyer says this, I will actually put the grocery carts back in grocery store parking lots because the Holy Spirit told me to. That's getting fine-tuned for God. Amen? And what God is saying to you and I is that thing there again. God is putting boundaries for us. Now, I want to read a verse I skipped over somehow. It should be on the screen if you can find this. It's in Exodus chapter 23. Can you find that back there, Andrew? Exodus 23. Put that on the screen here, please. I want to read this. We don't put the same demand on baby Christians, young believers, as we do those who are mature in Christ. This talks about this a little bit right here. Exodus 23, 28 through 31 says this, I will send the hornets before you, says God, to the Israelites in the wilderness, which shall drive out the Hittites or the Hivites, the Canaanites, the Hittites from before you. And I will not drive them out, it says, notice this, before you in 1 year. I won't do it in 1 year. Lest the land become desolate and the beasts or demons of the field become too numerous for you. So God says, I work with people little by little. And then he goes on and says that. It says, little by little, I will drive them out before you. Notice this next thing here, what it says. Until you have increased or strengthened. Isn't that good of God? God does not require you to take and get all your language perfect and all your habits perfect before you keep on serving him. He takes things little by little. He'll bring the hornet out in front of you. He'll start driving things away from you and help you conquer the land. Then it goes on and says this, and you will then inherit the land. Then next thing, very, very important. See what it says. And I will then set your bounds from the Red Sea to the other sea. Whenever God sees you're maturing in him, Whenever God sees you're passing tests in life by character, by whatever, in a negative realm, is being erased from you, he then starts putting boundaries, like Joyce Meyer's shopping carts, and says, these boundaries are only that I can show you off to the world, and you won't be a stumbling block to them. Amen? That's one reason, again, you won't find me buying lottery tickets. Because if I buy lottery tickets, it tells you folks, you go buy lottery tickets. Now, I have no propensity at all towards being a gambling addict, but you guys might. My freedom can bring you bondage. You see that? So I don't drink, and I don't smoke, nor cuss, nor chew, but I do run with those who do. Amen? Because God makes us, people like myself sometimes, examples for folks to watch, like my grandson, August, like my children, like some of you folks as well. And what I give license to, you may tend to do yourself. I will never be an alcoholic, but maybe you will. I will never find myself broke by gambling, but maybe your grandson will. My freedom can bring you bondage. Amen? And so God starts putting boundaries around us, not to make our lives miserable. We might be showed off to the world and reach more folks for Jesus by not being a stumbling block to them. Because the biggest thing about ministry is not your anointing, not your charisma. It's about being and showing the character of God to people around us on the earth to show who Jesus really is. Amen? People want to see Jesus. Amen. Not your gifting, your calling. They want to see Jesus most of all. So going back now to the last part, this number 10 gate. I'm going to have James come back to the platform and help me out here at the end. This is James. And I want to say again, y'all know James. The judgment gate's a sobering gate because time and again, God tells his people, do not be judging one another. Every servant will stand before me or fall before me, but it is not up to you to decide who stands or who falls. Amen? It's up to you guys to love unconditionally, to help people out, to equip them, to be with them, be there for them, be available to them, and be those who try to encourage them and strengthen them and see them increase in the land to receive their inheritance. And then let God start putting boundaries for them in Jesus' name. Praise God. Let's go right now for a moment here. Let's go ahead and close our eyes, bow our heads for a moment. So I'm going to pray. Sorry, no, again, that one gate we're going to talk about in a moment and pray about, the old gate. God's already made that plain today. That's going to be a gate that's, some folks, you should have closed that gate and kept that gate closed, but it's trying to be cracked back open once again. When Nehemiah saw the gates, the 10 gates, the Bible says they were burned with fire and they were totally open and dysfunctional. So all these gates were wide open. The valley gate, the old gate, the refuse gate, the east gate, the judgment gate, they were all wide open. And that's why the people of Israel were in despair, in fear, and in trepidation. I want to ask right now, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, just be honest. I'm not going to try to point anybody out, not embarrass anybody at all here today, but I just want to see this morning, is there anybody here today that would say and be honest that you're sensing some of these things from your past? Old feelings, old habits, old ways of speech, old ways of thinking. They're trying to come back in your life somehow in this season. Would you raise your hand right now if you're like that? Anybody else? Do you see hands in the middle, the left, the right? God bless you guys for being honest. Let's all stand to our feet now. I'm going to pray this right across the congregation today, because you whose hands were not raised up, I sense that even many of you, several of you, not many, but several of you, are going to also face temptations this year to try and reopen some of those old gates. And the devil wants those old gates opened back up that he might bring in a lack of covering and gaps into your life once again. And when the covering comes off and the banana's exposed, it only brings bruising and deterioration and something less than God made that banana to be. Amen? Let's pray right now. Those whose hands are raised up, Those who want to join him as well, let's pray right in your seats. Heavenly Father, I praise you and thank you, O God, this day that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I declare, O God, this day that all things have passed away. And I declare that all things become new in the name of Jesus. I willfully say those doors be shut to the old gate. Old acquaintances, old friends, old habits, old speeches, old ways of thought, old bondages. They will not grip my life again this year in the name of Jesus. And I say those doors be shut, those doors be barred, those doors be nailed in the name of Jesus Christ to the cross. And I praise you, God, this day. The gates of heaven are open up to me. And I have, oh God, your grace upon my life. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's now begin to pray about those gates that God wants to open up. Let's pray about the sheep gate quickly. Father, we thank you, oh God, that we are called the sheep of your pasture. Not because we're dumb, not because we're stupid, but because we are people who don't always see the whole picture like you do. We acknowledge today, oh God, we need a shepherd. We need your guidance, your direction, your presence, your wisdom, your counsel. We receive that this year in the name of Jesus. We also declare, oh God, this day we need each other in the body of Christ. Help me, oh God, not to become bitter, wounded, or bruised this year. But I see myself forgiving my brothers, forgiving my sister, and releasing tolerance to them in the name of Jesus. But also, God, I say, help me release my giftings. Help me not become heavy laden with the wool of my giftings, my blessings, my callings, my success. Help me, oh God, be open to release and give out of those things you've given to me in the name of Jesus. I will teach, I will administer, I will counsel, I will bake, I will work, I will do those things you've called me to do to expand your kingdom in Jesus' name, knowing that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And I thank you, God, for that. Now for the fish gate, oh God, help us, Lord, be better soul winners. Give us, oh God, divine opportunities to share our faith, our testimony with those around us who need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Open my eyes up, oh God, around people around me, in the grocery stores, in the neighborhood, as I live and move and have my being. And Father God, also help Tree of Life Church become even more of a soul-winning church. That our people, God, are being trained, being equipped, and going out in the highways and byways of Austin, Texas, and surrounding areas to see folks drawn to Christ. Now for the fountain gate. Lord, with our hands right now raised to you, we say, spring up, O well. Holy Spirit, come upon my life. Baptize me afresh in the Holy Spirit. And every day I live, I say, Spirit of God, consume me, possess me, own me, baptize me. Bring me a freshness. Bring me a newness of life. Let me, oh God, realize you're a friend who'll sit closer than a brother. And I embrace the Holy Spirit. And I say, may that fountain be pouring in me and through me. Rise up among me, oh God, among your people, oh God, in this church. Rise up, Holy Spirit. The fountain gate be opened up. Windows of heaven be opened in the name of Jesus. And now for that water gate. Father God, we just honor your word. We thank you, Lord, for the written word of God. Help us find time to read your word, memorize your word, speak your word, confess your word, believe your word, and act on your word this year. In Jesus' name, we praise you, God, for the word of the Lord. And finally, as this thing is called, I didn't mention for some reason, I skipped over the horse gate. The horse gate is a gate that's got the biggest opening because it's made for soldiers to be on their horses going out to battle. It's also an open gate. And God is saying sometimes we are called to fight the enemy aggressively. So Father God, I pray, Lord, this day I say I am a fighter. I am a warrior. I've got a horse under me that's called the power of God. No weapon formed against me prospers. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And I say, O God, my face be set against the enemy. For this purpose was the Son of God made manifest, to destroy the works of the devil. And I say, God, let me be your war club. Let me be your sword. Let me be the one, O God, who's placed in battle, not afraid, not intimidated there, not quivering by things around me, O God, that may be big or great. But I will go forth in the name of Jesus Christ. And I am made more than a conqueror in Jesus' name. Let that horse gate be opened wide in Jesus' name. Let the doors be opened. I am available to fight for my daughters, for my son, for my grandchildren, for my wife, for my husband, for my neighbors, for my brothers and sisters, the body of Christ, for my city, for my nation, for my government, for the schools, and for the nations. I am available to fight in the name of Jesus. Father, I praise you, God, and thank you for these things in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's just give God a hand clap of praise right now. Just clap to him and give him thanks and praise for what he's doing. Lord God, just open these doors, open these windows, open, oh God, even wider, even greater every day. Praise you, Father. Praise you, God. I'm going to have Iris go ahead and take the microphone from Cheryl to dismiss us in a moment. But I want to say again, these other four gates to be closed. Remember those. Write those things down. Look at those gates. The valley gate, anything that obscures the truth of God, his word, his promises. Resist those things in Jesus' name. The refuse gate, anything that removes a covering from you, that tempts you in sin. Resist the devil, the Bible says, and he will flee from you. You resist him first. You do your part. God will do his part. The east gate, I will not walk in judgment of myself or of others around me. I will let God be the judge, and I will love unconditionally in Jesus' name. And last of all is that the one that's called, I'm sorry, the east gate was the one about the return of Christ. I mean, these ones mixed up here. The east gate's the one, again, where we say, I will not be consumed by the return of Jesus Christ to the point that all my energy is spent upon the return of Jesus. I exalt in the fact that Christ shall return for a glorious church. But I also obey what God's word says, occupy until I come. Father God, help us all be those who occupy and are busy about the Father's business. So when Jesus Christ does come back, we find ourselves not in neutral, not passive, not in fear. We find ourselves busy about the Father's business in Jesus' name. We praise you, God, and thank you for all these things. Amen. Well, praise God. If you guys can come back at Wednesday night, I'm going to teach here a spiritual lesson again on Wednesday. And then again next weekend as well. I'm going to carry on this whole series on strengthening. And so be praying for us, if you would, in advance for Jack, myself, the team going to Myanmar next Sunday afternoon, late afternoon. We're going to be flying out of here to Los Angeles and on to China, on to Myanmar. Just be praying that God shows us this week what to speak about, how to prepare ourselves for this, and God prepares a way before us as he wants to do. Amen. Anything else going on, Cheryl, that's in the back? Books are here. Yeah. Yeah, there's T-shirts available with WOW back here in the back with Linda. And we'll start selling books for the Bevere series on marriage today or next week as well. So God bless you. May God use this week for each one of us for his glory. Thank you guys so much for being here. We're just going to pray that God will use each one of us the way he wants to this week as we just love people so much and love him. Amen. God bless you. Let Iris dismiss us in prayer.
God, I just want to thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you that you sent your son, Jesus, Father God, so that we may be a gate to heaven, so that every day that we're opening ourselves up to the Holy Spirit and we're saying, good morning, Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, and that you are constantly reminding us to advance the kingdom of God. So I just pray over each and every person and family representative here today that you are a gate to heaven no matter where you're at HEB, at your workplace, in your car, everywhere you go. You are bringing the kingdom of God. You are the passion of Jesus. The dunamis power of God resides inside of you. And you know what? That word that you're reading every day will come to light. It'll come to remembrance to you. God will bring it back to you. Everything that you've taken in, he will pour out. Freely you have received, and freely you shall give, and it will bring multiplication into the kingdom of God. So I just release a blessing over you right now and your household with peace and love and joy. And I bless each and every one of you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.